Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Wonder who
wrote the book of love? Chapter one says the lover, you love with all your heart.
He forced an open mouth kiss on me, sticking his tongue into my mouth to French kiss me. I pushed back and said, stop it, you're being way too frisky. And I was distressed and shocked and terrified. He laughed, clearly enjoying himself at the expense of my discomfort, refusal, and fear. This was ever more disturbing and frightening to me as I saw he was determined to have a sexual act with me.
Chapter two, you tell her, you never, 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 ever going to party.
As soon as he had it playing, he turned to me and he immediately flipped me flat on my back and threw his whole body face down over atop me, pinning me down and outweighing me by quite a bit. Get off me, you big lummox.
We are listening to the woman who was accused, the general of global warming hysteria, Al Gore, of fundamentally abusing her. That's where we're playing the Book of Love, because apparently she lived through this, the Encyclopedia of Love with him. And I'm doing this because the stories that I'm about to get into on the show are absolutely so terrifying, so frightening, so filled with rage and hatred, that I thought we'd had to start with a little Al Corleone stuff. We're going to talk about the new Black Panther Party and the fact that they have apparently violated the Voting Rights Act. In fact, so far as I can tell, the new Black Panther Party and what they did in 2008 on videotape is the clearest violation of the Voting Rights Act that I know of since the Voting Rights Act was passed in the 1960s. Now, in order for the ordinary dunce American to understand what this is all about, let's start at the top. Black Panthers, in uniform with clubs, intimidating voters at a voting booth in 2008, captured on videotape. The Justice Department throws the case out, saying there is not enough evidence. They're lying. In fact, the official at the Justice Department who was in charge of it was fired. He says it was clearly a violation of the Voting Rights Act, and that Obama is protecting these people simply because of their race. He was told there is a mandate not to pursue cases of this nature against black people. Now, in order for the moronic left, or those on the Democrat stooge side, to understand what this means, and I know many of you listen to this show because you know that I'm absolutely telling you the truth, in order for the moronic left or the Democrats listening to this show to understand this, I want you to stretch your mind and imagine this. Now, suppose for a moment that a conservative president had won the election, and that after this conservative president had won the election, it came out that some American Nazis had gone to a voting booth in Nazi uniforms and were holding clubs, and they had intimidated black voters. And imagine that those Nazis were then called up on civil rights charges by the Justice Department, but that later on the president intervenes and the case against the Nazis was thrown out because he says there was no evidence. Now then imagine further, it comes out that these American Nazis that we're talking about were caught on videotape saying the following, that the Nazi party will not be happy until every black person is driven out of the United States of America, or worse, because that's exactly what this Black Panther said. He said you got to kill some crackers and kill their babies. Okay? Did you hear that? Oh, you missed that yesterday? Now, what if this white Nazi had been caught on tape making violent, racist statements against blacks and was being protected by a conservative president? What if a white racist Nazi had used vile slurs against black people and said you got to kill some of their babies in order to have freedom of America? Would you honestly tell me that they'd be protected by the American vermin liberal media? No, you know not. You know that we're living in a strange, strange reality that is very dangerous indeed. So let us start at the top. Let us play for those liberal fools listening to this show the flashback to January 2009 when the Philadelphia leader of the Black Panthers, so-called King Samir Shabazz, says he hates white peoples and crackers and he wants to kill white people and their babies. This is from the National Geographic Channel, Clip 10.
I hate white people. All of them. Every last iota of a cracker, I hate it. We didn't come out here to play today. There's too much serious business going on in the black community to be out here sliding through South Street with white, dirty, cracker whore on our arm, and we call ourselves black men with African garb on. What the hell is wrong with you, black man? You had a doom day with a white girl on your damn arm. You want freedom? You're going to have to kill some crackers. You're going to have to kill some of their babies.
Now, he's entitled to say those things, by the way. He's entitled to freedom of speech. And incidentally, King Samir Shabazz is free to travel to the United Kingdom, and I am not. In fact, the entire Black Party, Black Panther Party, is free to travel to the United Kingdom, and I am not. Just to show you what is going on in the Western Hemisphere and the Western nations today. But let's put me aside for the minute. Now, you say, well, he said those things, and I disagree with them. Well, what the hell does that have to do with Obama? Well, here's what it has to do with Obama. On videotape, the Philadelphia leader of the Black Panthers, King Samir Shabazz, is seen in a military garb or camouflage garb and a club with his cohorts intimidating people at a voting booth, at a polling place in Philadelphia. He was arrested for this. I believe they were arrested for this. It was brought to the Justice Department. The Justice Department introduced the case, and after Obama became president, Eric Holder dismissed the case. In other words, they're covering up not so much for what Shabazz said, but for what Shabazz did at the voting booth. You understand that? Now, let's go to the next stage. We're going to talk to J. Christian Adams, the former deputy of justice attorney who was fired. He will be on the show later, by the way. And he is going to recount for you the investigation of the Black Panthers and how they're being protected by Obama and Holder. But let us listen to clip four now. You're going to hear Black Panther Chairman Malik Shabazz railing against Fox News. Listen to this.
This whole so-called voter intimidation controversy is just a tool by the Republicans. These new so-called civil rights Republicans that are suddenly fighting for civil rights, laugh out loud, are now all on the backs of the new Black Panther Party as we go into the election season.
Okay, keep going.
It's just part of the right-wing paranoia and playing on racial fears, unfounded racial fears in every way. I say Fox News should be ashamed of themselves.
By stirring Fox up News should be ashamed of themselves, not the people who intimidated people at the booth with clubs. So let's listen to six.
By stirring up racial fears, you stir up the Tea Party. By stirring up racial fears, you stir up the anti-Obama vote. By stirring up racial fears, you stir up fears against blacks, against Muslims, and against non-Caucasian Americans. And that produces a voter turnout. That produces the kind of volatile dynamic that they desire in the election season. But I say they will fail. They plan and God plans, and God will be the best of planners. Adams and the Republicans will be defeated in this battle against the Panther Party.
Very interesting. So suddenly he's a believer in God. That's very interesting. That's after one of his cohorts said that you've got to kill crackers. That means white people and their babies. I guess God is on his side in the desire to kill white people and their babies. Again, he's entitled to free speech. He's entitled to be a hater. But if, in fact, the videotape is real, and I suspect it might be, I don't believe it's doctored. I haven't heard them say it's been doctored. And, in fact, they did appear at the polling place in camouflage gear with clubs, and they did frighten and scare people away. They violated the Voting Rights Act of the 1960s, which, ironically, was put in place to protect black people from white racists. So now we have the Voting Rights Act being used to protect racist blacks who intimidated white people. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've laid the case out for you. If you care to comment on any of this, you can do so. We certainly can do so. I'll take my first call out of San Diego. Kenya, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael,
not there?
I'm here. Okay. I have to tell you, my blood is boiling. I've been listening to this for 2 days. And I grew up in the on the south side of Chicago. And let me just tell you, my family spoke the same language to me. And I grew up, got out in the world, and saw that things were not what they told me. So I'm wondering if this guy who is claiming all these things about white people have actually ever been around a white person.
Well, I can't answer the question, and the issue is not whether or not he's entitled to hate. He is entitled to hate. It's part of our inherent freedoms in this wonderful country. However, it's the Voting Rights Act that we're talking about. And this case, by the way, was brought to the Justice Department under the Bush administration, rightly so in my opinion, and thrown out under the Obama administration, who we are told has a rule of not to pursue cases against black people. That's the real issue here.
That's unbelievable.
Well, it is unbelievable, and I am running this because I think justice needs to be done. And thank you for the call. Now we have a little more for you if you think that we're making this up. We have a little bit more for you. Here is Black Panther King Samir Shabazz, again from the National Geographic Channel. This is the man who said that he wants to, you're going to have to kill crackers, you're going to have to kill some of their babies. The minute we come back, you're going to hear more from this distinguished gentleman who no doubt is in line for a Nobel Prize at the UN right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Since I have a death wish, that's me though. You know what I'm saying? I'm just that warrior. You know, I don't care. I'm ready for war, man. Because black people need to be free. It takes the extreme ones to keep us alive. You understand what I'm saying? It takes the extreme ones to keep the truth into our people's head.
So in other words, a black president isn't enough. A black attorney general isn't enough. A black Supreme Court justice isn't enough. Wealthy media figures and powerful sports figures, that isn't enough. He's still talking about freedom as though slavery ended yesterday and we're living in the antebellum South. So now listen to clip 9.
King Samir Shabazz is the new Black Panther Party's Philadelphia leader. This new Panther version of black power does not include white participation. In fact, Samir keeps a composition book of indignities perpetrated on blacks by whites.
Bottom line, I understand he is my open enemy today. He has brutalized, raped, maimed, killed, burned, lynched, robbed, tortured, took our names, took our God, took our language, took us. Okay? So there's no reason for me, knowing all of this, with this book, all of the history of everything this man has done to us, there's no reason why I should be still walking around talking about let us all unite and fight this struggle together.
Mm-hmm. Again, he's entitled to his opinion, and that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the Voting Rights Act passed in the 1960s. So distinguished gentlemen such as Shamir, whatever, Shabazz, could vote to permit men like him or his father to vote without being intimidated. And apparently that wasn't enough for him. And a black president, a black attorney general, a black Supreme Court justice, black sports stars, black media figures is not enough for him either. They're still, apparently to him in his mind, all black people are oppressed. And then he has a little, like Madame Defarge, a little book in which he keeps all of these imagined injustices as though they occurred to him personally. And he wants to get even for all of these injustices. Somehow he believes he is the man sent by God to straighten out the book of justice and injustice. And again, he's entitled to that delusion. But if, in fact, he did engage in voter intimidation, he violated federal law, and this is a federal crime, and the case was brought to the Justice Department, and it was thrown out. In fact, the attorney who was pursuing it was so stunned by the fact that it was thrown out by Eric Holder, acting under orders of Barack Hussein Obama, that he was fired. He will be on the show to talk about this. 1-800-449-8255. michaelsavage.com. Now, I realize this is heavy-duty stuff, and maybe it's a little too much for a hot date. If you'd rather have love rather than their hate, we could play an Al Gore tape. You have a little bit of Al Gore for 10 seconds, just any one of the others, to lighten the load for the
people. At this time, he had been pressing his body up against mine and pulling me tightly. And I was not certain if his robe was open or closed in the front. It seemed partway open.
All right, like, so we're doing that for comic relief. And I'm saying, if you don't want love or hate, how about I could talk about something of it like this, the production of methane in the bovine gut? I mean, if you really want to be bored to death, we could do that. We could just discuss the chemistry of the production of methane in the bovine gut instead of Al Gore's love behavior. San Diego, welcome to the Savage Nation. Curtis, you're on the air.
I'm a black male that works hard every day to change the stereotype of the typical black male. And this new Black Panther Party really hurts what it is I'm doing and what many other black males are doing to change the image, the negative image that we have in this country.
Well, you know, I got to, here's my own personal experience. I'm speaking one man to the other. I'm older than you are, but I've run into black guys in their 30s who are corporate kind of guys. I've run into them in bars. They happen to love my show. They really get a kick out of me. They've listened to me. They have no connection to the Black Panthers. To them, the Black Panthers are like a throwback. They're people who are stuck in amber. They've fallen into a tar pit, and it's like we're looking suddenly at 1960 again in the country. How is that possible?
There, so many people have so much hatred. I grew up in a black community, and it comes from the parents and grandparents. They just teach it to their children.
But there's a whole new generation of black people who really have broken free of that chain of hatred, and I've run into them. I don't think that the Black Panthers symbolize black people in America. I don't think they represent them, rather, at all. That kind of rhetoric is something you would have heard in the 60s during the ages of the Huey Newton age, you know, way back when. Or, you know, but that's gone with the wind. Where are they coming from with this when we now have a black president? How is this possible?
Music.
Music. Oh, Time Warner. I'm sorry. I forgot about music.
Savage.
He hunts the biggest of all game. Public enemies who try to destroy our America.
I finally got out the door after being forcibly being pulled back in the room in the doorway by him a couple times and trying to leave to be groped and fondled and have tongue kisses forced on me. This is what he's doing. And that's when he's saying, you know you want to do it. And I was just thinking, oh my God. When I finally got away, I hurried down the hall to the elevator and went downstairs via the elevator where I felt really shaky and faint. And I arrived quite shaken at the main lobby where I could hardly think or write. Yet I needed to scribble out a receipt for the hotel to get cash before I left.
You're listening to the deadpan voice of the accuser of Al Gore. That's the masseuse. What I don't understand is what she got so shaken by. I mean, let's say he kissed her. What, was she shaken because no one had ever kissed her in her entire adult life? She's never been kissed, so Al Gore kissed her, or was it such a horrendous kiss? I don't understand what she's so shaky about. Let's say if he did this, was it so bad what he did? He kissed her. Listen to 16, the woman, I don't know, I think she's making the whole thing up. Listen to 16.
As I took off my clothing to go to the shower, I noticed some stains on the front of my black slacks. These are
newer black slacks.
That might have been the second time.
Oh, God. Wait a minute, please. That doesn't reflect very well on the vice president, the former vice president of the United States. In addition to being childish, this is crazy. Did she say she has slacks? Look, I'm doing this for a reason. And the reason is I don't think we can take any more of the new Black Panthers with Samir Shabazz and company. So I'm going to read a quote to you. And whoever can tell me who said this will win a free copy of my last book called, well, maybe I'll give you a free copy of Psychological Nudity since it's summertime. I may even read from it today. One of my childhood stories from old New York when it was still a city before it's become a yuppie destination in the meatpacking district. And here's the quote. I'm afraid that there is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, They have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. Who said that? Was it Adolf Hitler? Benito Mussolini? Don Corleone? Who said that? Who said that? I'm afraid there's a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. Whoever gets that right wins a free copy of the Al Gore sex tapes. No, we'll win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. So again, we can talk about that. We could talk about the sanctuary, the Arizona immigration law. I also want to talk about marijuana for a minute, because San Francisco, as you well know, is run by insane people. There's no other word for them. San Francisco's so crazy that even the fish are stoned in San Francisco Bay. And the reason I say that, the reason that the fish are stoned in San Francisco Bay is because there's such a level of pot usage in the city, and the waste, even though it's treated, apparently some THC is leaching into the bay and the fish are swimming in it. Today we learned that they're going to ban soda machines. They're going to ban, what's the newest one? Soda machines, soda. They just banned soda machines on city property, but they put out an official city report on how to make and bake marijuana brownies. Now, I got to ask you something. What is worse for the human body, marijuana or soda? What would you rather have your child do? Let's say you have to they have to have a vice. Smoke marijuana or drink a soda now and again? Plastic shopping bags are banned, but condoms are not banned. Banning city employee travel to the state of Arizona. They can't purchase bottled water with city money. Trans fats are banned. And the schmucks in San Francisco now want to ban pet stores. It's getting crazier by the second. They just banned soda machines. They replaced all the sodas with soy milk and fruit juice. But at the same time, the so-called Department of Public and Sanity Health for San Francisco has issued guidelines for making edible marijuana. That's right, soda is out and pot brownies are in. Here are the rules. One, you can't sell anything that requires refrigeration because they might go bad and make people sick. We're talking about marijuana brownies. No other food prep should take place during the production of pot brownies in order to avoid cross-contamination. And three, labeling must include a warning if nuts or other known allergens are used. I think they should say that this was baked by a nut. I think that would be a more sane warning. This marijuana brownie was baked by a nut. The city of San Francisco is ruled by absolutely insane Marxists. Here they are worried about foodborne illness, but they're not worried about impaired judgment and loss of motivation. Here they are worried about cross-contamination, but they're not worried about increased risk of cancer from marijuana. Here they are worried about allergens, but they're not worried about damage to the immune system from marijuana. Everything the people in San Francisco do at the leadership level is insane. They ban plastic bags, but they promote and sell condoms, which get thrown into a landfill. They ban trans fats, etc., and so on. The drugs they take seep out into the bay, and even the fish get stoned. So there it is. That's the city I have chosen to love. We have a winner. Glenn in San Diego, you're on the Savage Nation. You are a winner.
Well, thank you, Dr. Savage.
Okay, but you got to tell everybody who it is.
Oh, okay. Booker T. Washington.
Hey. That's right. Now, Booker T. Washington was an absolutely great man, a brilliant man, and he happened to be also of African descent. And he saw way back when, we're talking well over 100 years ago, is that correct?
I believe so. You've had the quote on your show before, Dr. Savage.
You're one of the only people who actually knows that I'm Dr. Savage and I have a website and a show. Now, Glenn, stay on the line. Would you rather have a copy of Banned in Britain or Psychological Nudity or Healing Children Naturally?
I'd like Banned in Britain, please.
You got it. Hardcover edition still available. He wrote, I'm afraid that there is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. That was Booker T. Washington. And so as a result, we wind up with Barack Obama as president because of white guilt. Many white people were so guilty over the sins of their ancestors. I'm very lucky because I'm the son of an immigrant, and I guess none of my ancestors held any slaves, thank God. In fact, you might say my grandfather was a slave himself in that he came here and worked like a slave 7 days a week and died at age 48. Then my father worked like a slave and died at age 58, so that I could have a better life. But so far as I know, none of them kept slaves. But apparently that mentality of the immigrant struggle in America He did not get through to some people whose ancestors may have been here over 150 or 200 years themselves. And so they still hate white people, they still have grievances, and they still want some kind of justice for this. And that's what we're facing today, even though we have a black president, a black attorney general, a black Supreme Court justice. We still have such hatred in the United States of America. And you might ask yourself, when does this end? The answer is, for some people, it will never end, because their hatred is what keeps them alive. You don't understand that hatred is a very powerful motivator for some people who have nothing in their lives. Some people who are devoid of any creativity, some people who are devoid of any spark of ambition, some people who are devoid of any desire to better themselves or those around them, some people who have no families and no desire to raise children, there's only one thing that can go motivate them, and that is hate, and more hate. And this hate becomes a fuel of its own kind. And that is why it's important for you to understand why the case against the Black Panthers must go forward. Justice must be served in the United States of America. But if you think that the Black Panthers and their rhetoric came out of the blue, you are mistaken. Because the very same rhetoric, albeit in a milder form, came out of Reverend Jeremiah Wright's mouth. And he preached this hatred to Obama and others in Chicago for well nigh 30 years. And our fair president sat in that church, he says, for 20 years, and he never heard any of that. Well, I don't believe it. I believe that he has some of the same rhetoric in his mind. And I believe that's why we're seeing some of the things in this country today. That's my personal feeling. Arturo in Boca Raton, welcome to the Savage Nation.
That's right, Dr. Savage. I mean, we have a president who sat in church there for several years under a Christian pastor spewing hate speech and racist remarks against white people. And we should be surprised that Attorney General, let's say Court Jester Chavez, walk? I don't think so.
Okay, well, I think you made your point, and we can move on because there's nothing more to be said. Except that in the next hour, I'm going to have the gentleman who was fired from the Justice Department, who brought this case originally, J. Christian Adams, who was mentioned by one of the Black Panthers himself, because apparently they're afraid of him. They claim that he is pushing this, pursuing it. He blames Fox News. He blames Republicans. He blames Adams. And I think that the Panthers are afraid that this case will be reopened. That's what I think. Patricia in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Michael, I have to disagree with you, at least in part. I do agree that what Shabazz said is free speech. Anybody can come out and say they hate whoever they want to hate. But once you cross the line and you call for the murder of people based upon race, that's no longer free speech. That's where we
Well, apparently a very distinguished broadcaster who appears regularly on Fox News named Reverend Al Sharpton engaged in the same thing with bullhorns up in Harlem when Freddie's Fashion Mart caught fire. You know about that story, don't you?
I'm a New Yorker. I remember all this, you know.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
But he lost a lot of weight, and he got some nice suits, and apparently they love him at Fox News. They dine with him on a regular basis.
Yeah, but you know what, Michael? Here's my opinion on what's happening with this new Black Panther Party case. It's going to get politicized like everything Obama does. I don't think Obama gives a damn who he throws under the bus. They're just going to be waiting as election time in November gets...
Wait a minute. We know that that's true about every leader. They're all the same. Politicians are notoriously unreliable with regard to their friends. But who do you think he's going to so-called throw under the bus? Do you think Obama's going to finally have enough pressure on him with regard to this Black Panther case that he's going to be forced to reopen the case, yes or no?
Yes, but what will happen before that is, as we get closer, either him or Holder will come out and make a statement like, all right, guys, come on, you got to stand down. Go back to your communities, be a community worker, do good in your communities. That's the way.
Well, I don't know. I personally believe that this is going to become as big as anything has ever become. And I believe that Obama is going to have to reopen the case. And I think there's a high likelihood that in a jury trial, they will be found guilty of having conducted voter intimidation. Whether it will result in jail time is another story. Frankly, I don't think it actually will result in jail time. I don't know what it will result in this country today. There are so many murderers walking the streets. I doubt very much whether voter intimidation rises to the level of any kind of, imprisonment. Truthfully, you look at what goes on in this country. And maybe it'll just stop the next group of intimidators from appearing at the voting booths, which is really the goal here. You know, you're never going to eliminate hatred in a society, never in a million years. Hatred is inherent in the human condition. There are some people who hate every day. There are some people who hate occasionally, some who hate never. And this will go on through the end of time. It will go on and on and on and on and on. Take a look. I'm going to jump now across a continent. You don't know this because the World Cup, which is being held now in South Africa, apparently it's a contest between Elena Kagan and Madeleine Albright, but that particular event has not yet been broadcast. But the World Cup in South Africa has brought up some very interesting statistics that I would like to mention, which is one of the things I have heard recently that South African farmers, whites, are leaving in droves, and they're buying farmland in the United States of America and Canada to continue what they know best, which is farming the land, because they know that Zimbabwe is just around the corner in South Africa. South Africa right now, this has been swept under the table by the vermin media, has the highest rate of child rape in the world. Did you know that? South Africa has one of the highest AIDS rates in the world. Did you know that? All of this is swept under the rug because they want you to believe South Africa under all black rule is a paradise, is a nirvana, and that a nation as beautiful and as great as America is an enemy of the world, is an evil world. That's all because of your friends in the media. Your twisted sisters in the media have turned everything in the world upside down. Everything good is bad. Everything bad is good. Everything evil is good. Everything good is evil. The United States and worldwide liberal media has twisted the entire world so that South Africa is now projected as a worldwide leader in humanity, when in fact it is the highest rate of child rape in the world, one of the highest homicide rates in the world, one of the highest random murder rates in the world, but you don't know any of that. There's also a great deal of racism towards whites. They're being kicked off their land. It's a slow growth towards Zimbabwe. They don't yet have a Mugabe, but it's only a matter of time. And here we have a nation as tolerant and as great as this, which has to put up with the vermin on MSNBC and in Reuters, one of the foreign outlets, and ABC and CBS and NBC, which every day of the week twists everything and makes this beautiful nation into something it is not. Okay? That's what makes me get up in the morning, which is to set the table straight. I'll be back.
Savage.
All right, here's a break area. Again, tied to the same kind of minority agitation. Jurors have just reached a verdict in the murder trial of former Bart police officer who shot and killed unarmed train passenger Oscar Grant on January 1, 2009. The verdict is scheduled to be read in Judge Robert Perry's downtown Los Angeles courtroom in a few minutes, and I will have that verdict for you on the Savage Nation. Now, many black activists, meaning, shall I say, the cop, is given first-degree murder. The fact is that the jurors were given four options during deliberations. They could convict the cop of second-degree murder, voluntary manslaughter, or involuntary manslaughter, or they could acquit him. The black agitators want first-degree murder. Now, the case is very, very sad, by the way. The cop shot Grant, who is black, the cop was white, incidentally, at the Fruitville Station in Oakland, and it was witnessed by dozens of New Year's revelers on their way home from San Francisco a couple of years ago. It was captured on video. There was a protest afterwards by black agitators, which mushroomed into a riot in downtown Oakland. They almost burnt part of the city to the ground. As a result, the trial was moved to Los Angeles because of the publicity in the Bay Area. The prosecutor is, by the way, in my opinion, the prosecutor, David Stein, is responsible for the riot that occurred. The prosecutor, David Stein, in my opinion, should have been pulled off the case because he argued that the cop had lost control of his emotions and shot the 22-year-old Grant intentionally in the back after briefly trying to handcuff him in the wake of a fight on a train. The prosecutor, David Stein, should have been disbarred and thrown off this case. But all right, I don't have that power. Now, what is the case? Grant was handcuffed on his chest on the station platform. He had performed, I don't know what he did, some vandal, whatever. They had a big fight or whatever. So the cop sees him on the ground. He's trying to control him. The cop says he decided to use his taser because he saw Grant put his right hand in his pants pocket and believed Grant might be reaching for a gun. Grant turned out to be unarmed. Now, the cop said he had accidentally pulled out his pistol and fired a single shot before realizing he had grabbed the gun and not his taser. The verminous prosecutor, Stein, called the story a fabrication, setting off all of this hatred and these riots. My personal feeling is that the cop is liable for second-degree murder. I believe it was an accident, personally. I think that the cop did panic. I believe that he did reach for what he thought was his taser, which has a pistol grip on it. And I do believe he was in a panic situation, which doesn't excuse it, by the way. His training was horrible. His training was nowhere near the level that it should be. I understand, for example, that the California Highway Patrol has much higher standards of training for its officers than most of these city municipalities, who are hiring former waiters in many cases to be cops with almost no training. They're so desperate to get people into the job. Put that aside. So let's say he wrestles this guy to the ground. He reaches back during the tussle. He has him on the ground, and he thinks he's going to taser him. In fact, he pulls out a pistol, and he shoots the guy and kills him. He is guilty of murder, okay, in my opinion. Second-degree murder is what I think he did, or you could call it you can go to a lesser charge if you want. But there's no question that a man is dead. A man is dead. He could be convicted of second-degree murder, voluntary manslaughter, or involuntary manslaughter, or they could acquit him. This will come up in a minute with a news conference. And as you know, the standard operating procedure here in the San Francisco area is for the unemployed agitators who live on city, state, and federal money to riot and burn and see if they can beat up some policemen and some burn down some buildings. Let's pray to God that cooler heads prevail. We'll have it the minute we come back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
White people, all of them, every last iota of a cracker, I hate it. We didn't come out here to play today. There's too much serious business going on in the black community to be out here sliding through South Street with white, dirty, cracker whore f***s on our arm, and we call ourselves black men with African garb on. What the hell is wrong with you, black man? You had a doom day with a white girl on your damn arm. You want freedom? You're gonna have to kill some crackers. You're gonna have to kill some of their babies.
I wonder who
wrote the book of love. Chapter one says to love her, you love her with all your heart.
As I took off my clothing to go to the shower, I noticed some stains on the front of my black slacks. These were newer black slacks. That might have been the second time I wore them, so it's a thicker dressy. Possibly I could wear them on a date, so I was trying to be like I'm messed up. And I took them off and I said, what's those stains on the front of those? And I wondered if it was soap or bodily fluids from Gore pushing up against me repeatedly, because they're about here, pulling me down, etc., with nothing on by these hotel-issued terry robe with a belt to hold it closed. I carefully hung them up and decided to be sure not to launder them until I knew more what to do with what had happened.
You're listening to Al Gore's accuser, and before that was a gentleman who is accusing the white race of things that he personally has never suffered. 1-800-449-8255. We are waiting for the verdict here in San Francisco, or more specifically Los Angeles, of a case out of the East Bay of a policeman who was in a tussle with a cuffed suspect, shot him in the back on the ground, And, of course, the types that you just heard want to riot and burn, and they're going to use it to the to their advantage. Here's another story. Federal gay marriage ban overturned. An activist rogue judge in Massachusetts. Listen, this is an interesting story. A rogue judge in Massachusetts just ruled that the federal gay marriage ban is unconstitutional. Now, listen to what I just said. The federal law says gay marriage is banned. So an activist rogue judge in Massachusetts just ruled that the federal gay marriage ban is unconstitutional. But listen why. Because it interferes with the right of a state to define marriage. Now, let me ask you something. We have the Arizona law, which says that they have a right to define their own laws. And the federal government rules, no, you don't have a right to define your own laws in the state. But here now we have a radical judge in Massachusetts who says the state does have a right to define itself with regard to marriage, but not with regard to immigration law. So you see, we're a there's a word for this when a country is falling apart like this. It's what's happening to America is what happened in the ex-Soviet Union. The nation is breaking apart. Now, fortunately, we don't have the equivalent of the republics, so to speak, that were amalgamated into the ex-Soviet Union and were conveniently diced up and broken off into what they formerly were before they were aggrandized into one glorious prison camp called the USSR. We have states. And so I don't think that we're going to have the very same result, which is 50 different fractured nations. I certainly don't think that's going to happen. But unless we have a president who comes along who can unify the people, and that certainly is not the present administrator of the position, who is the most divisive president in American history, things could happen that we don't expect. Breaking news on the Savage Nation, the jury has reached a verdict out here in the San Francisco area. No press conference yet. We'll play it when we get it. He has been convicted of involuntary manslaughter, which means that the race haters are going to go out into the street and burn 1960 all over again. For some people, the world has not changed. For some people, even though we have a black president, a black attorney general, a black Supreme Court justice, you name it, that's still not enough. They're still living in the past that was pushed into their heads by hateful, mainly by hateful white liberal teachers, incidentally. Don't blame their parents. It was white liberal communists who poisoned their minds. Make no mistake about it. That's what I think. Now, if you'd rather not talk about it, I understand why. We could talk about the dangers of marijuana instead, which is part and parcel of the problem. The red diaper dopa baby, the RDDB as I define them, is the reason that we have Obama as president and that we have such a pastiche of insanity raging through the American political landscape. Red diaper dopa babies are ruling this country. What they don't know is that marijuana, although it may be so-called natural, marijuana is far more dangerous than tobacco smoke. Do you know that marijuana, mainstream marijuana, has ammonia levels that are up to 20-fold greater than that found in tobacco? Hydrogen cyanide, nitrogen oxide, and some aromatic amines, which are all carcinogenic, were found in marijuana smoke at concentrations 3 to 5 times those found in tobacco smoke. But you can't tell that to potheads. Potheads are brainwashed. They don't know that they have mercury, for example, and much of the marijuana that is grown today is grown on volcanic soil. I talked about this for years. And you know the story of the Mad Hatter. I told you about the Mad Hatter. The Mad Hatter was a fable. But what does the Mad Hatter actually mean? In the old days, hats had hat bands that were stiff, and they were meant to make the hat stiff, right? And how did they make the hat band stiff? They dipped the hat band, the fabric, into a liquid mercury. Because mercury, when it hardens, is hard, like a metal. It's a heavy metal. And then they put the hat band around the hat. Unfortunately, the people who were hatters, H-A-T-T-E-Rs, as opposed to the haters we've been playing, the hatters very often became insane from having exposed themselves to mercury, methyl mercury, because they dipped their hands in the solution. They didn't use gloves. They didn't know any different then. And the mercury migrated through their skin into their serum, and they wound up with methyl mercury poisoning, one of the symptoms being acting like the mayor of San Francisco or, let's say, the former governor of California or any one of the current federal officials who are appointed by Obama. They would be classic examples of they would be showing classic symptoms of methylmercury poisoning, that they hate a nation that has given them so much. But there are other examples of the Mad Hatter out there. But anyway, the long and short of it is many people who smoke marijuana don't realize that they're uptaking an awful lot of mercury in the marijuana smoke. That's what I was trying to say to you. So they're mad. They're crazy, half crazy from the THC and half crazy from the mercury that they've been getting from the marijuana grown in volcanic soil, because volcanic soil happens to be very rich in mercury. And so when the plant grows in that soil, it takes up the metals in the soil. And it winds up in the marijuana schmuck. And when you smoke it, putz, it winds up in your brain, which is why you can't get a job and you're still living at home and you still hate America, you moron. Throw away the marijuana cigarette. You might have a chance at life, you schmuck. Or you're liable to wind up another loser at 50 walking the street hating the world, is what I like to say to you. Unfortunately, I don't know you, but I know you just heard me. Mr. Mercury, cadmium, lead, chromium, nickel, arsenic, selenium, pyridine, quinoline, isoprene, acrylonitrile, benzene, toluene, styrene, formaldehyde, acetaldehyde, acetone, acrolein, propionaldehyde, crotonaldehyde, methyletyl ketone, butyraldehyde, hydroquinone, resorcinol, catechol, phenol, cresol, naphthalene, all aboard, fluorine, panthethine, anthracene, fluoranthetine, pyrene, benzoanthracene, chrysine, benzoafluoranthine, benzoclaforanthine, benzoepyrene, benzoapyrene, pyrolene, my friends. All in that natural marijuana smoke that you think is natural, boys and girls, because your teachers told you it was better and safer than alcohol and better and safer than big tobacco. But in fact, my friends, that's why you're a loser. My friends, that's why you can't get a job. My friends, that's why you're lazy, and that's why you're unmotivated. That's why you hate your mother. That's why you hate your father, and that's why you hate your country. It's all because of the Mad Hatter within. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Now, some of you will call and say that hydroponically grown marijuana does not contain such toxins, therefore it is fine for you. Well, let's deal with that. Let's deal with THC per se. THC per se, the active principle of marijuana, is available in a medication for people who claim that they need it for medical reasons, and that's the way they should be getting it. They should be getting the THC in a pill, not from some crackpot pot grower in a hydroponics laboratory somewhere in America who is no doubt doing it the wrong way, even though he thinks he's doing it the right way, and no doubt is poisoning people with his medical marijuana deliveries. And so that's why I say we're living in a lawless land now where everything that is right is wrong, and everything that is wrong is right. Everything that is evil is good, and everything that is good is declared to be evil. City may ban pet sales. They're not going to ban pot sales. The lunatics who run San Francisco, most of whom are stoners, say that pot should be legal, but pets should be illegal. Pot is legal, but pets should be illegal. It may soon be illegal to sell a dog, cat, or any other critter in San Francisco except goldfish. Now, I don't know why they're excluding goldfish. Maybe somebody in the city government has a thing with goldfish. I don't know. But it's sad to see that they're going to eliminate all furry creatures from pet stores, including gerbils. I don't know if that's going to eliminate visits to the city by certain Hollywood actors who seem to like that kind of pet. But gerbils themselves will be eliminated in San Francisco. And I don't know how that's going to play out. Some of them will have to go as far as Los Angeles to get their gerbil fix. Judge orders 10 spies deported. Guzzling gunman shot dead by cops. Suspect takes over a 7-Eleven, drinks booze for over an hour, and after a final gulp, points gun at police. I guess you could say the police shouldn't have killed him. I guess you should say that if they were Norwegian police, they should have had a drink with the guy with the gun. They should have sat down and tried to understand him. They shouldn't have shot him. After all, he was just an innocent lunatic with a loaded gun in his hand who took over a store. He was just acting out his frustrations for a hateful society. And the only way to act out is to just act out. And we have to be a more tolerant society. We need police who can be even more tolerant. And if occasionally a cop is shot, well, I guess that's the price of tolerance, according to judges and prosecutors like Stein, who will take the side of the murderer over the police any and every day. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game, from the Black Panther case to the local case to the pot case, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
forced an open-mouth kiss on me, sticking his tongue into my mouth, the French kiss me. I pushed back and said, stop it, you're being way too frisky. And I was distressed and shocked and terrified. He laughed, clearly enjoying himself at the expense of my discomfort, refusal, and fear. This was ever more disturbing and frightening to me as I saw he was determined to have a sexual act with me.
That is Al Gore's accuser. Of course, he is innocent until proven guilty. That should he be proven guilty. So as you see, we're covering everything on the Savage Nation, from Obama's Black Panthers to Al Gore's Black Pants. All the topics of the day are being covered on the Savage Nation. In a few minutes after the next break, we're going to have the Justice Department attorney fired by Eric Holder, who actually will tell you about the Black Panther case and see what he has to say. I know, I'm saying he quit, but he's going to tell you the inside story. The officer, Masoli, was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death of Oscar Grant on New Year's Day 2009. It just happened. Now, I want to show you what police have to go through. Here's another story. A guy, an armed man suspected of a night-long crime spree, was shot and killed by cops in the Bay Area just hours ago. He steals a car last night outside a hotel. Car's being parked, a Volvo, no less. He breaks into a Dublin knife and gun store with the car. He then uses a gun and ammo that he stole from the business to confront police at the 7-Eleven. Okay, steals a Volvo from a guest unloading his luggage at the Fairmont Hotel, drives the Volvo to a knife and gun store, rams the car into the gun store, steals a gun and ammo. At 2:10 a.m., a San Ramon police officer on patrol spots the lunatic acting nuts inside the 7-Eleven store where the Volvo was parked outside. The officer learns the car has been stolen, receives a report that a robbery was in progress. So far, the ACLU has not been called in to say, wait, if he's an illegal alien, you can't arrest him. So police from four different jurisdictions converge on the store. Over the next hour, police try to talk the loony out of the store without success. The lunatic comes out and demands marijuana from the police. And when he wasn't on the phone to officers, he was drinking the store's alcohol, okay? A witness says the guy then walks out with a can of beer in his left hand and his gun in his right. The witness says the police said to him, put the gun down. We just want to help you. You don't want to do this. They were trying to talk him down, says the witness. The lunatic then takes one last swallow from the can, tilts it all the way back, and he says it's like a scene out of a movie. He was going to make a final stand. The lunatic throws his can to the ground and aims his gun at the officers, open fire, and the man is pronounced dead. Now, I want to just replay the tape for you. I believe that since liberal vermin are going to claim that the cops shouldn't have shot him, they should have tasered him, they should have done this, they should have talked to him, I believe I have a solution to that problem. The next time there's a confrontation of this sort, and there is enough warning where the police are outside in the cars and a lunatic is going to come out, I believe that defense attorneys, members of the ACLU, and other liberal heart, bleeding liberal heart, should be used as human shields in front of the police. And I believe that the cops should be behind the ACLU lawyers because they're all so concerned about the poor, downtrodden, oppressed murderers, rapists, counterfeiters, and terrorists, that I think liberal defense attorneys, liberal police watch groups should be used by the law. By the way, the law should be passed. They must be used as human shields in such situations. And the cops should then approach the man with the gun with a bleeding heart liberal in front of themselves. And so that the bleeding heart liberal can talk to the alleged victim who is about to be assaulted by the police. Because that way there'll be no doubt. No doubt whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen, about the integrity of the offer for them asking him to put his gun down. So we need to get all of the good liberal lawyers to volunteer as human shields for this type of case. Or if they don't volunteer, I say drag them out by their rotten, stinking yellow necks and make them become human shields. Does that work for you?
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. We have an important guest right now. We've been talking about the Black Panther case, and we have right now J. Christian Adams, the former U.S. Department of Justice official and whistleblower, who has accused the Department of racial bias in its handling of a voter intimidation case against members of the new Black Panther Party. Now, remember who this gentleman is. He was supervised by the Civil Rights Division attorney Christopher Coates, who overruled him. Joining us right now is J. Christian Adams. Mr. Adams, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, nice to be here.
Well, I've seen you, you know, cover this case over the last few weeks on television. I sort of think I understand the case, so let's cut to the chase of the case. These Panthers allegedly were I saw the videotape, dressed in military-style uniforms and allegedly hurled racial slurs while one brandished a nightstick. That's all true, correct?
Of course it is. Anybody with eyes can see.
Okay. Is that a crime?
Well, it probably could be charged as a crime, but again, Chris Coates and I and the rest of the team, we were in the civil side.
So what's the case then? In other words, they can be racially hateful. They can. Did they commit a crime of any kind here?
Well, you know, what they did do is they blocked access to the polls. They hurled racial slurs at people. They brandished a weapon. They said, "You're about to be ruled by the black man, cracker," at individuals there. And, you know, these are things we just don't tolerate in this country.
All right. But is it a crime for them to be racists? Is it a crime for them to say things but not actually intimidate people? Or are you suggesting that their statements and their clubs did act to intimidate potential voters? Is that it?
No, there's no question about it. Their statements, their weapons, their uniforms, their menacing conduct, all of those go together to create a violation of federal law.
All right. Well, it's important for the people to understand this because they could say, well, they may be hateful, but did they really commit a crime? Because the Justice Department spokesman said that they investigated it and the law did not support pursuing claims against the two other defendants and denied Adams' allegations. You, of course, believe that they're covering this because of racial reasons, right?
Well, there's no doubt about that because of the open and pervasive hostility inside the Civil Rights Division to equally enforcing the law. If they were to allow Chris Coates to testify, I guarantee that he would say the exact same thing. He's lived it. He understands it. And so the members of the team were fighting an uphill battle with a group of people who don't really care about equal enforcement of the law.
Chris Coates was in charge of the voting division. He stepped down because he was so disgusted by the current tenor there at the Justice Department under Holder.
Yeah, Coates was the section chief and really in charge of this case, and they shipped him off to South Carolina. They stripped him of his job and sent him off to South Carolina.
See, I tried to have the audience understand this because it hasn't yet hit the midstream media who's covering this up, but I asked what would happen if a conservative president had won and American Nazis had appeared with the uniforms and clubs and screamed racial slurs at black people and threatened them at the polling place. And then it turns out that the president or attorney general under the conservative intervenes and the case is thrown out. I mean, there'd be no end to the outcry in the media. I mean, that's really what's going on here, right?
And it would be justified because, you know, too many people died in this country to make the ballot box something that is sanctified and free. And so it would be rightful outrage.
Yes, it would be. Of course, the ballot box has also been assaulted by illegal aliens voting, but that's a separate issue today. So what would you like seen done? I imagine you want the case reopened. I understand that the Civil Rights Division, whatever that may be, is looking at it again, Mr. Adams.
Yeah, the commission has outstanding subpoenas to Christopher Coates that they're ordering Coates not to comply with. They should let him comply and tell the truth about this case. The other thing they should do is refile the case. If they did, they would win it, and we would all be better off.
So if you're in your mind, if justice were to prevail, the case would be reopened. The Black Panthers, how many are there involved? Two or three?
Four, all told.
They would be found guilty of what? Voter intimidation, violating the Voting Rights Act?
That's correct. That's correct.
And what is the penalty for that?
Well, since this is a civil case, it's an injunction not to do it again. It says that if you do anything like this again, the marshals will come and take you to federal jail.
Well, I understand, and I'm not trying to play devil's advocate because I don't believe in that, the Obama administration has gotten one of them to agree not to bring a club to a polling place until 2012. Is that true?
Well, and only in the city of Philadelphia.
So they're free to bring a club anywhere else in the country, I see.
Well, yeah.
Now, who is actually looking into this again?
Okay. The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, which was founded during the Eisenhower administration, is a bipartisan commission that investigates deprivations, you know, people's civil rights being violated. They've opened up an investigation into the dismissal, and that's where I testified earlier this week, was before the Civil Rights Commission. I was under subpoena, and the Justice Department told me not to comply, so I had to give up my job in order to comply with the law.
You're kidding me. They told you not to testify before the Civil Rights Commission?
In writing. They've also said the same thing to Christopher Coates.
Well, wait a minute. That, to me, seems like a separate case unto itself.
Well,
it sounds to me as though your civil rights have been violated.
Yeah, I mean, they just said we aren't allowed to testify.
How is that possible that an official of the government is not allowed to testify before a civil rights commission? I've never heard of any such thing. This is without precedent. So what do you think is the animus? What is the animus behind the Justice Department? You imply that there are many cases against blacks that are being suppressed by this administration for racial reasons. Is that what you're alleging?
I'm not saying there's many cases. What I am saying is when there is a case, of which there's only been two in the last decade, it is meant with institutional hostility, efforts to not bring the case, efforts to not fully investigate the case, efforts to have the case dismissed, both by people inside the Justice Department as well as the so-called civil rights groups. They're very hostile to these cases.
Yeah, civil rights is a one-way street for most of them. Now, how can people listening to the Savage Nation, and this is a very activist audience, and they donate money to causes they believe in, do you have a need for a fund or any kind of money here? I mean, who's helping you with this?
I'm flying solo, my friend. Lives honor sacred fortunes. It's you just got to tell the truth and hope that America's a good nation, which I think
you actually quit a federal job, a civil service job, in the name of the truth? That's what you had to do?
At the top of the federal pay scale, my friend, top of the line, GS-15-9 pay, yep.
That's astounding. You're actually one of the last people I've heard of who would ever do that. So, again, I will say, how can my audience help you? Do you have any kind of defense fund or for this particular case where they can contribute $10, $20, $50, $100?
Well, not now. I haven't given much thought to that. They can go to my website and read all my postings at electionlawcenter.com. But, you know, I'm really not, I don't have a handout because this is America and I'll figure out something to do.
Well, okay, let's put it to you this way. When you do that, I know that many radio shows will have you on and help you reach the American people who always want fairness and justice.
I appreciate it.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Adams, when you retired, or rather quit, did you didn't abrogate your pension, did you, I hope?
No, I don't think so, but who knows what they'll try to do, but I don't think they really could do that.
No, they can do anything they want. They're the government. You know better than I do what a government's capable of when it gets vicious.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you the best. We hope that the truth shall be heard. And again, if you need the help of the American people, believe me, there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people out there who will contribute to a defense fund for you.
Well, I will keep you updated about the progress of the case, and who knows what great things might happen.
All right. Well, you are certainly an American to be admired. That's all I can say. And remember the name, folks. You're listening to a man who has a name, who's given up his career to pursue justice in the racial bias case in the Black Panther situation. And his name is J. Christian Adams. You just heard him live on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. After reviewing the evidence, the department under Obama and Holder concluded that there was insufficient evidence to establish that the party or Malik Zulu Shabazz violated Section 11B. Assistant Attorney Perez said in his testimony. Now, before we take a break, I think you need to hear Malik Zulu Shabazz himself, so that you can get some idea of the state of the man's mind. Let us listen to clip 4.
This whole so-called voter intimidation controversy is just a tool by the Republicans, these new so-called civil rights Republicans that are suddenly fighting for civil rights, laugh out loud, are now all on the backs of the new Black Panther Party as we go into the election season. It is just part of the right-wing paranoia and playing on racial fears, unfounded racial fears in every way. I say Fox News should be ashamed of themselves.
The last I checked, Roger Ailes was not wearing a Gestapo uniform with a club outside a black district's voting booth. I'll be right back.
Savage.
King Samir Shabazz is the new Black Panther Party's Philadelphia leader. This new Panther version of Black Power does not include white participation. In fact, Samir keeps a composition book of indignities perpetrated on blacks by whites.
Bottom line, I understand he is my open enemy today. He has brutalized, raped, maimed, killed, burned, lynched, robbed, tortured, took our names, took our God, took our language, took us. Okay? So there's no reason for me, knowing all of this, with this book, all of the history of everything this man has done to us, there's no reason why I should be still walking around talking about let us all unite and fight this struggle together.
As of right now, Black Panther King Samir Shabazz has not been banned in Britain. In fact, he would be free to go there and say such things. Of course, Michael Savage, talk show host, is still banned in Britain. Just shows you what the world is today. I hear the Queen, God Save the Queen, is here. By the way, there is a, speaking of war and peace, I don't believe personally that Mark Twain really said that France has neither winters nor summers or morals. And I also think it's a lie that General Patton used to say, quote, I'd rather have a German division in front of me than a French division behind me. However, there is still a rumor going around that an American general once said that going to war without France is the same as going deer hunting without your accordion. I can't confirm that. I like that one. Going to war without France is the same as going deer hunting without your accordion. I have some relatives who just came back from Europe. They loved Italy. They were stunned by the austerity of Switzerland, how cold it was. They were kind of stupefied by the German coldness, but loved the cleanliness and the outfits. And, of course, they ran into the hatred of the French. But I said, don't take it personally. I sent them an email while they were in Europe. I said, the French have been that way since Napoleon. They have a grandiose sense of themselves. But, frankly, unfortunately, the French have produced nothing since Napoleon. And, well, he was the Hitler of his time anyway. I mean, Napoleon was the Hitler of that period. And they're living on this image of the imperial presidency of Napoleon. You hear this? Look who they still glorify, the Napoleonic era. Do you know how many Frenchmen died because of that lunatic? When he invaded Russia in the winter, you know how many came back from that invasion? And it shows you how history repeats itself, that Hitler invades Russia and gets caught there in the winter, in the Russian winter. And how many Germans came back from that? I believe 600,000 Germans were captured at Stalingrad, after the winter froze them in, and of the 600,000, 10,000 came home after the war. So it just shows you that history does repeat itself, and of course we in this country see history repeating itself again in many, many different ways. If you think that the things going on in America today under Obama are brand new, you're wrong. It's history repeating itself. In some ways it is, in some ways it's new, in some ways it's not. We had racists in America in past centuries. We now have, in my opinion, a benign, mild racist administration in power. At this time, they're benign and mildly racist. I believe under the surface, though, there's something much more virulent. And like other diseases, it must be kept under control or it will spread like a wildfire. We have had other presidents who tried to be dictators who were slapped down by common citizens who took them to court. And I have cited the cases for you. I'll give you again an example. FDR, one of Obama's mentors, so to speak, Would it be only that FDR was one of his mentors? I would sleep better at night, but I think FDR is only a mild example of one of Obama's mentors. But FDR had grandiose ideas of the power of the presidency, and FDR glorified many of the socialist inventions of Stalin, and he tried to introduce them to America, with the exception of, let's say, the death camps and the gulag. But FDR overreached his power. And he put, I told you, I'll tell you again, the Schechter brothers. It's actually in my new book coming out. I can't wait for it to come out. Every time I tell a good story, I can say, you know, go buy the book. But the book's not out yet. I can't even tell you the title. The Schechter brothers were four little kosher butchers. They were brothers in Brooklyn, New York. One of the federal laws passed by FDR said you can only sell kosher chickens in a certain number. You can't sell smaller lots. They said, well, if we do that, we're going to go out of business. We have to sell these kosher chickens to individuals as well to survive. The government put them in jail because they were violating what FDR wanted, which was he was price fixing, in other words. The government was fixing prices on chickens. They couldn't comply. They would have gone out of business. They went to jail. I don't know how long. They came out and they sued FDR. They sued Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Democrat socialist president. Okay? And guess what? Not only did they win at the Supreme Court level, with a real Supreme Court justice giving a great statement, a real great Supreme Court justice, who, by the way, I think was Jewish and didn't eat in Chinese restaurants, did not eat in Chinese restaurants on Christmas, unlike Elena Kagan, okay? And the justice said that he's going to stop the desire on the part of Franklin Delano Roosevelt to aggrandize even more power in his hands, in essence. I'm sure, you know, I'm giving you my own words. And the Schechter brothers were found to be correct. The president was found to be wrong. And listen to this. One of the major, gigantic agencies that had been established by Franklin Delano Roosevelt was dismantled. I pray that come October, just before the election, when this country is going to be in a fever pitch of concern and they're finally going to understand what we have in the White House and what he's decimated, what he's done to decimate this nation, takes a $1 trillion debt and raises it to $4 trillion. Do you understand what this man has done to us? Put aside all of the social issues. Let's put them aside. They're very important. Let's put aside what he's done to the military, what he's done to NASA, what he's done to our nuclear arsenal or would do if he's not reined in. Put that aside. Let's make it just dollars and cents. If you look at the story of the debt that this man has incurred because of his madness, it's like a madness no one has ever seen in the history of the world, by the way. On this scale, it's never been seen. Never. Never before has a bunch of incompetent lunatics taken over a nation like this and had other people's credit cards to spend, and like adolescents on marijuana, out of control, adolescents who steal credit cards from their parents while the parents are working, going on a spending spree, buying everything under the sun. And the parents come home and they have to pay the bill. U.S. marks third largest single day debt increase. It was in the Washington Times. I put it on the right side of michaelsavage.com. Now listen to this. June 30th, the one-day increase of the United States debt, the one-day increase was bigger than the entire annual deficit for fiscal year 2007. That's an example of the lunatics running the United States government today. And what they are doing financially is what they are doing socially, militarily, morally and ethically, at every level, every day, my friends, and it can all be seen in the numbers alone. This is Michael Savage. I hope that you have understood that we've covered everything from the Black Panthers to Gore's Black Pants right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
speech.
Yes, sir.
We have a right to dissent.
Right to fight.
They say you're lucky, Mr. Shabazz, to be in America. I say you didn't give me nothing in America.
That's right. Come on.
Talking to white America, you haven't given me nothing in America.
That's right.
Obama's Black Panthers. The so-called new Black Panthers are being protected by Obama and Eric Holder, the Attorney General. This is the clearest violation of the Voting Rights Act that I know of since the Voting Rights Act was passed in the 1960s. Now, in order for the ordinary dunce American to understand what this is all about, let's start at the top. So-called Black Panthers in uniform with clubs were seen intimidating voters at a voting booth in 2008. It was captured on videotape. Yet the Obama Justice Department threw the case out, saying there wasn't enough evidence of voter intimidation. They're lying. The official who was in charge of it was fired. He says that this was a clear violation of the Voting Rights Act, and that Obama is protecting these people simply because of their race. They are black. He was told there is a mandate not to pursue any cases against black people in the Justice Department. Can you believe this? Now, in order for the moronic left or the Democratic stooge to understand what is going on, and I suppose that many of you moronic leftists or Democrat stooges listen to the show, try to stretch your minds. Suppose for a moment that a conservative president had won the election, and that after this a conservative president had won the election, it came out that some American Nazis had gone to a voting booth in Nazi uniforms with clubs and had intimidated black voters. And imagine that those Nazis were called up on civil rights charges by the Justice Department. But now imagine that the president intervenes and the case is thrown out saying there's no evidence. Then imagine it further came out that these American Nazis were caught on videotape saying the following, that the Nazis would not be happy until every black person is driven out of the United States of America or worse. You think that's crazy? Well, that's exactly what the Black Panthers said. You got to kill some crackers and their babies. Now, what if this white Nazi had been caught on tape making violent racist statements against blacks and was being protected by a conservative president and a conservative attorney general? What if a white racist Nazi had used vile racist slurs against black people and said you got to kill some of their babies in order to have freedom in America? Why don't you tell me if they'd be protected by the American vermin media who are protecting this hateful black revolutionary bunch? We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Look, if you didn't hear it today or you didn't hear it yesterday, I'll play the vile racist rant of the Black Panther whose case was dropped by the Justice Department.
I hate white people. All of them. Every last iota of a cracker, I hate him. We didn't come out here to play today. There's too much serious business going on in the black community to be out here sliding through South Street with white, dirty, cracker whore f***s on our arm, and we call ourselves black men with African garb on. What the hell is wrong with you, black man? You had a doom day with a white girl on your damn arm. You want freedom? You're going to have to kill some crackers. You're going to have to kill some of their babies.
Well, what if this was a white Nazi skinhead saying these words about blacks? Do you think the Obama Justice Department would have dropped this case? Even more of this hateful man's words came out today.
In a sense, I have a death wish. That's me, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm just that warrior. You know, I don't care. I'm ready for war, man. Because black people need to be free. It takes the extreme ones to keep us alive. You understand what I'm saying? It takes the extreme ones to keep the truth into our people's head.
You hear this? He's ready for war. And another Black Panther is blaming Fox News for the whole thing, even though he's the one who said kill whites.
This whole so-called voter intimidation controversy is just a tool by the Republicans. These new so-called civil rights Republicans that are suddenly fighting for civil rights, laugh out loud, are now all on the backs of the new Black Panther Party as we go into the election season. It's just part of the right-wing paranoia and playing on racial fears, unfounded racial fears in every way. I say Fox News should be ashamed of themselves. By stirring up racial fears, you stir up the Tea Party. By stirring up racial fears, you stir up the anti-Obama vote. By stirring up racial fears, you stir up fears against blacks, against Muslims, and against non-Caucasian Americans. And that produces a voter turnout. That produces the kind of volatile dynamic that they desire in the election season. But I say they will fail. They plan and God plans, and God will be the best of planners. Adams and the Republicans will be defeated in this battle against the Panther Party.
And here's the same genius blaming America for 9/11.
We don't have anything to prove when it comes to the events of September 11th.
Right.
After all we suffered. We call it like we see it. We say the chickens came home to roost. Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney. He's running around the world, globetrotting, trying to get his support for his evil and wicked plans of war. Things are going on the earth. I want to know where you are.
Yes.
I want to know Muslims. I want to know black people. I want to know revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know where you stand today. We have a right to free speech.
Yes, sir.
We have a right to dissent.
Right to fight.
They say you're lucky, Mr. Shabazz, to be in America. I say you didn't give me nothing in America.
That's right.
Talking to white America, you haven't given me nothing in America.
That's right.
That's right. America gave him nothing except the ability to spew hatred. And by the way, who gives him money? What does he live on?
There is a smaller percentage of those who know the truth and are ready to stand on the truth and are ready to die and kill in pursuit of the truth.
Yes, sir.
Black power. I believe that there are some who believe in the jihad. In the holy war of the righteous against the wicked.
And these are very dangerous people. Now here's the brave man, J. Christian Adams, the former Justice Department official, who has the guts to speak out against these dangerous street thugs.
We got the National Geographic video where the Black Panthers are calling for the murder of white babies in their cribs, which I understand you showed here, and calling for the murders of white people to show the section. We thought, my goodness gracious, fair-minded people will soften their hearts, after they see these things. I was not there the day the video played, but I'm told it did not exactly attract a large crowd.
Well, that's the kind of reaction he got. In the meantime, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs, the human pickle, got a very good question about Obama's lawsuit against Arizona's immigration law.
Right now, there are dozens of so-called sanctuary cities that have their own policies that might potentially conflict with federal law, something that's led Governor Brewer to say that if Arizona's in violation of federal law, then so are these localities. So my question is, why did the president only ask DOJ to look at Arizona and everywhere?
Let me see if I can get... I don't know the answer to that, but I will try to seek some answer on that.
The pickle is quick on his feet. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, I want to talk about pot, that is marijuana, and the liberal mentality, because where I live in San Francisco, even the fish are stoned in San Francisco Bay. As you know, San Francisco is a city filled with mentally ill administrators. They elected Nancy Pelosi. The Board of Supervisors condemned Michael Savage for speaking out against illegal immigrants long before Arizona. I was the fall guy. Try to ban just about everything, and they try to ban just about everything, including, let's see, soda machines on city property, trans fats, purchases of bottled water with city money, city employee travel to the Grand Canyon State and plastic shopping bags. Now the idiots just banned soda machines on city property and replaced all the sodas with soy milk. But at the same time, the so-called Department of Public Health for San Francisco has issued guidelines for making edible marijuana. That's right. Soda is out and pot brownies are in. Here are the rules from the idiots. I don't even want to read them. Now, these people are totally insane. Tell me what you think is more dangerous, soda or marijuana. The city of San Francisco is peopled by totally insane potheads drug addicts, and sex maniacs. They're worried about foodborne illness in a pot brownie, but they're not worried about impaired judgment and loss of motivation. They're worried about cross-contamination, but they're not worried about increased risk of cancer from the marijuana. They're worried about allergens in the marijuana, but they're not worried about damage to the respiratory, reproductive, and immune systems from marijuana. Everything these people do in this city is insane. They ban plastic bags, but they still sell the condoms which get thrown into a landfill. They ban trans fats, but they still sell ice cream for potheads high in saturated fat that gives you a heart attack. The drugs they take seep into the bay, and even the fish get stoned. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in the Gulf, and what's going on in the White House. But with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at Carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. I'm just having a good time. You think I'm going to eat my heart out over this, you're mistaken. If I have an illegitimate government, what do you want me to do about it? When you have lawmakers siding with lawbreakers, what do you want me to do about it? I'm only a talk show host. It's your fault. You elected the lawbreakers, not me. We are talking about the illegitimate who are grinding the country down. All right, thanks, Frankie. Give him a few whatever, and we'll see him in the you-know-where. So the illegitimate liberals are screaming bloody murder, saying Nazi and fascist, because the illegals are being asked to show their ID. Let me ask all of you good liberals something. Have you recently tried not showing your ID when you board an airplane? Have you good libs tried not showing your ID when a cop stopped you for having your taillight out? Have you good libs gone to a grocery store and written a check recently and be asked for your ID? Have you said, I won't do it because you're a Nazi? I know all of you idiots believe that anybody asking for identification of illegal immigrant is a fascist, but how come it doesn't apply to you, you morons? Talk about something very simple that everybody will understand right now. It's about a very, very simple topic called dichlorodiphenyl trichloroethane, because all of you know it. You may not know it as dichlorodiphenyl trichloroethane. You know it as DDT. But when DDT was found back in the 1940s, it was considered such a life-saving boon and such a boon to mankind that the scientist who discovered DDT, Paul Mueller, won the Nobel Prize. Unlike Al Gore, he actually deserved the Nobel Prize. DDT soon went on and exceeded all expectations in controlling malaria around the world, and it went on to save millions and millions of lives. In fact, DDT was so effective that it eradicated the disease of malaria entirely in Europe. It eradicated it in the United States. You may not know it, but malaria was once endemic in the southeastern United States. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle chemical. But now malaria is a reemerging disease of the poor, and it's ravaging people in South America, in Asia, and across sub-Saharan Africa. Why is it happening? Because of Earth Day. Because of lunatics on the left. You see, malaria is spread by mosquitoes, particularly the Anopheles mosquito. And malaria kills almost 1 million people a year. And it inflicts suffering on hundreds of millions more. But it really didn't have to be this way. What happened was the left-wing environmental nuts, particularly the Earth Day founders, none of whom were scientists, attacked all pesticides and made pesticides public enemy number one. Rachel Carson wrote a very important book in 1962 called Silent Spring, in which she argued that DDT, when sprayed on a Michigan campus to halt the spread of Dutch elm disease, would spread far and wide and harm the ability of robins to reproduce. Well, she was wrong. She was totally wrong about the effects of DDT. DDT didn't spread the way she thought it did, and no studies have ever been able to show that environmental exposure to DDT, even in large quantities, actually harms human beings. In fact, DDT is less dangerous to humans than any number of natural chemicals, including some of the vitamins you might be taking. Some of the medicines for sure are more harmful than DDT. I'm not saying you should ingest DDT, But I am saying this. It was not as dangerous as the environmental lunatics made it out to be. But it was banned. And as a result of the Earth Day lunatics, the so-called environmentalist crusades against pesticides, DDT was banned by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. At that time, malaria had been eradicated in the USA. But in many parts of the world, it was still terrible. And what happened was as obvious. Insecticides like DDT were phased out. The malaria, the mosquito that transmitted malaria, the Anopheles mosquito continued to proliferate. And malaria started to spread again. As a result, we have millions of people around the world suffering and dying because of the wipeout of DDT. And so I want to warn you, citizens of the United States of America, that as you celebrate the environment, so-called, try to put some common sense first and put your emotions second. This is Michael Savage, and I stand by my editorial. Just recognize that there are consequences to your stupidity and your emotional reactions. We all want a nice environment, but by wiping out dichlorodiphenyl trichloroethane, or DDT, we permitted the scourge of malaria to reemerge across the planet. Now that's a message.
Savage.
A while back, we had Edward DeVere from the group Veterans for Strong America on the Savage Nation to talk about their Freedom Papers project. He joins us now for an update on this project. Remind us what the Freedom Papers are.
Michael, your listeners know from listening to you that words are totally different when they're connected to and spoken by a soul that truly loves America. The authors of the Freedom Papers are the fearless voice of American heroes speaking to the radical left. Heroes like Dan Gilead, who's running for Congress in the state of Kansas and lost his leg in combat in Iraq. He's currently walking 26 marathons in 26 days in order to raise money for veterans in need. The reason this particular Freedom Paper is so important is because timely action is desperately needed. Your listeners can stop the Kagan confirmation to the Supreme Court, and they can stop Obama's moves to make NASA technology available to Muslim nations that we know would let the NASA technology fall into the hands of terrorists bent on destroying this country. But they need to act now and put a measure of effort into it, like they did on the Dubai ports deal, and maybe even more effort than that. This Freedom Paper is titled Like Father, Like Son, and it gets to the root of Obama's murky origins and gives a lens through which the American people can look at and understand Obama and never be deceived by him again.
What can we the people do?
They need to give their own senators and congressmen a call immediately and also call the officer of Senator Jeff Sessions regarding Kagan. Regarding NASA, they need to burn the phone lines, faxes, and emails of their elected representatives until Congress puts a stop to Obama's plan to let Muslim nations have access to our NASA technology, which could easily be adapted to build ballistic missiles to reach every city in the U.S. They need to do whatever it takes within the law.
Well, what does this new letter have in it?
The title is Like Father, Like Son, and it's addressed as a letter to President Obama and signed by candidates for congressional office. Dear Mr. Obama, it is a fact, indisputable to honest minds, that there is virtually no aspect of your origins, personal or ideological, that are not somehow wrapped in fraud. The multiplicity of your actions, which seem to defy all reason and all comprehension, however, are easily deciphered and understood in light of your real ideological father, Saul Alinsky, author of Rules for Radicals. Alinsky is your true origin in ideology and political methodology. Alinsky is your father, and it is this father, Saul Alinsky, whose dream you seek to fulfill every day of your life. And how better can we understand and interpret Alinsky than by noting that Alinsky literally dedicated his own book to Lucifer, also known as Satan. Let us hear Alinsky's own words of dedication, and I quote, "To the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer, end quote.
Hmm.
Mr. Obama, if Lucifer was Alinsky's ideological father, then you are Lucifer's ideological grandson. Leave it to Lucifer to seek to fundamentally transform heaven, a place of absolute perfection. It is Alinsky preached to generations of admiring radical protégés, and I quote, "Be no such thing as a successful traitor, for if one succeeds, he becomes a founding father." This quotation of Alinsky's is not something taken out of context. It is the focal point of his work and the end point to which his reasoning process leads. Mr. Obama, you spent years teaching workshops on the Alinsky method. You raised money to fund the Alinsky Academy while working with the unrepentant weather underground terrorist Bill Ayers. Alinsky's own biological son has publicly reveled in your success, saying, and I quote, "Obama learned his lesson well. I am proud to see that my father's model for organizing is being applied successfully beyond local community organizing to affect the Democratic campaign in 2008. It is a fine tribute to Saul Alinsky as we approach his 100th birthday," end quote.
Unbelievable.
Mr. Obama, from this time forward, we will view you through the Alinsky looking glass and interpret your actions with a spirit of utter distrust, irreparable distrust, which you have more than earned by your actions while holding the office of president. Alinsky is all about being the Trojan horse. And are you not, Mr. Obama, the greatest Trojan horse in all of American history? Alinsky himself believed that true revolutionaries do not flaunt their radicalism. They cut their hair, put on suits, and infiltrate the system from within. Alinsky also espoused another related axiom, and I quote, "Wherever possible, go outside the experience of the enemy," end quote. As you well know, this means adopt a strategy that is something the enemy has never seen before and therefore cannot properly interpret until it's too late for the enemy to be able to mount an effective resistance and save himself.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect example of this principle in action is the new mission you have given the head of NASA. You want NASA to make outreach to Muslim countries NASA's number one priority. This idea is so far out in left field that it defies comprehension. But then again, you knew your NASA mission would have this effect on us, didn't you? We can't see your dark purposes because your actions go so far outside the experience of the American people. If we view this travesty through the Alinsky looking glass, however, here is what we see. Mr. Obama talking in glowingly eloquent terms about space programs no longer being competitive but collaborative. But this is just another Alinsky-inspired sleight of hand and a classic bit of theatrical misdirection, isn't it? When we look below the surface, however, what do we see? We see the strongest protests against your policy from none other than the former head of NASA. You and the current head of NASA are talking about the importance of helping countries establish space programs, and you pointed to Indonesia, where you spent your formative years, as a possible partner. How can this partnering with Muslim countries be done without sharing NASA technology with these nations?
It's insane.
Mr. Obama, by these actions, you know all too well that you are putting technology into the hands of the very people who would use it in the creation of ballistic missiles that could reach any city in the United States. Can any reasonable person deny that there would be a direct pipeline for this technology from any moderate Muslim nation partnering with NASA to a terrorist entity or a nation like Iran? You can calmly deny your treasonous motives all you want. That's the deceit and guile of your Alinsky methodology. Denial after denial uttered in your calm, well-modulated voice. The only people in the room who are ever in the wrong are, of course, those who are expressing their anger, especially if it is anger directed toward you. Once this NASA technology is in the hands of terrorists, the situation is irreversible. And that is exactly what you want. Because you pursue a course of action that risks NASA technology finding its way into the hands of terrorists, you are therefore a confirmed traitor of the highest order. And we demand that our senators and congressmen immediately put a stop to this unfolding travesty and call for your immediate impeachment. Mr. Obama, you are most prolific.
Mm-hmm.
We see Alinsky's signature methodology permeating Kagan's unyielding refusal to admit to contradictions in her words and actions. Kagan embodies the artful dodger of Alinsky methodology. We may rightly admire Senator Sessions' dignified and forthright approach in the confirmation hearings. However, he is perhaps too much of a Southern gentleman to get as mean and aggressive as he needs to get in order to defend America effectively against the likes of Elena Kagan. Everything within us abhors the Republican leadership's simpering acquiescence to the momentum of this fraudulent confirmation process. Theirs is an unforgivable lack of courage, witnessed by their unwillingness to take bold action and to resist at all costs the ascension to our Supreme Court by a fraud such as Kagan. Nor do they even show the fortitude required to mount a filibuster against this enemy of our freedoms. It is Kagan who recently argued to the Supreme Court that political speech can and should be regulated by the federal government, up to including censorship of books. It is Kagan who, as dean at Harvard, established Sharia law's most powerful and prestigious academic beachhead to date, the Harvard Islamic Finance Project, directly financed by Saudi Prince Alawid bin Talal, a member of the oldest Islamic terrorist organization in the world. The purpose of this project is to train American lawyers to practice Sharia-compliant law in the United States of America.
Oh, my God.
Have we, the people, heard even one question directed at this woman as to her dedication to lend institutional respectability to Sharia law? We have not. It is Kagan whose impassioned argument recently before the Supreme Court urged that American corporations should be permitted, under the guise of the First Amendment, to provide material aid to terrorist organizations and do so with utter impunity. Finally, if confirmed, it will be Kagan who casts her vote on cases brought to the Supreme Court that will determine if conservative talk radio survives the fairness doctrine or not. It will be Kagan who will hear cases as to whether Sharia law should be allowed in the United States as a legal system within a legal system. It will be Kagan who will draw deeply from the well of radical Alinsky politics her penchant for intellectual dishonesty and her ignorance of and disdain for the doctrine of original intent, that the Constitution means what the Founding Fathers intended it to mean. Given all the foregoing, is it not time to set a precedent in the Elena Kagan vetting process?
Exactly.
No Supreme Court nominee has ever before been brought up on charges of perjury during a confirmation process, and every single one of Elena Kagan's statements are made under oath. Where an oath is administered, perjury charges may be brought. In light of Kagan's apparent utter disregard for the truth and the apparent documentary evidence thereof, what could be more appropriate than that a courageous senator bring such charges of perjury against her? Therefore, we citizens of America demand that our leaders bring Elena Kagan up on charges of perjury without further delay. Has Senator Sessions not said repeatedly that Kagan's testimony under oath absolutely contradicts the facts that are key to examining her for confirmation? Has Kagan not lied, and does she not continue to lie under oath by denying material facts that would disqualify her from serving on the Supreme Court if she had answered truthfully and directly the point of each question? No amount of qualifiers added to an answer make that answer truthful when the net-net is that Kagan's answer is yes when the facts say no, and no when the facts say yes. A half-truth is a whole lie. Kagan speaks anything but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which is just as Saul Alinsky would have it.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Obama, we don't know why you hate America, but then again, we don't know why Lucifer hated heaven either. We stand irreconcilably opposed to you and your plans to destroy America. Actions you are now taking will inevitably bring this about if you are not stopped. We will act boldly as law-abiding citizens to do whatever it takes to save this free republic, to stop and decisively defeat you and your accomplices and thereby restore our country's security and freedom.
Where can we read more?
Well, your listeners can go to www.freedompaperswithans.org, and they can actually sign this freedom paper. And if they are a candidate for office, all they need to do is indicate that they would like to be reviewed by Veterans for a Strong America for possible endorsement, and then they can be listed as a signer.
Edward DeVere, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, I really appreciate it, Michael, and it's an honor to be on the show. Thank you.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, I want to talk a little bit more about marijuana, because for all their claims of free thinking, open-mindedness, and rejecting the restraining social mores of the past, libs are actually very closed-minded people for the most part. They get an idea into their heads like government control of the economy or multiculturalism, or if it feels good, do it. And once they get one of these ideas into their heads, like monomaniacs, they pursue it with a destructive monomania that puts the most crazed inhabitants of a psych ward to shame. But as usual, liberals are not interested in the facts. They have latched onto the idea that marijuana is natural. After all, their parents did it. They know lots of other potheads. They live in an insular ideological world, a world where the ideas of other left-wing morons like themselves are more important than empirical facts. And so the idea that marijuana is good and won't have a negative effect on their lives seems self-evident to them. But in fact, the monomaniacal, self-rationalizing mental disorder that is liberalism is slowly killing them and slowly killing our society as a whole.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Here is what's on MichaelSavage.com. You've got to listen to the new tapes that were uncovered by the Black Panthers that Obama and Holder are protecting. Why is Obama protecting this hateful revolutionary? If you listen to the tape, you'll have to ask yourself that question, because I have no answer. U.S. marks third largest single-day debt increase in history. In fact, the one-day increase on June 30th under Obama was bigger than the entire annual deficit for fiscal year 2007. Barack Hussein Obama, who has never run a hot dog stand, let alone a city, let alone a state, is bankrupting America socially, politically, and morally. Holder's justice is not colorblind, says Investors Business Daily. Did you know that the Dems financial regulatory bill has gender and race quotas in it? 20 offices of minority and women inclusion? You didn't know any of that, huh? More affirmative action. Passed by Barney Frank.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank. I'm Barney Frank. Although I was behind the scandal of Sandy Mae and then Freddie Mac, you could go screw yourself, because I'm Barney Frank, and I want more government power, and I want more offices for minority and women. I'm Barney Frank. In any other country, I'd be in jail. But in America, I'm a big man.
Do you actually read articles by wine experts on what to pair? How do they know what you should have? What do you mean, pair? There's no rules on what to pair with what food. You drink what you want. I mean, you eat Asian food, pair it with beer or tea. What are you pairing? The best Thai in town. You know, that's horrible cuisine. Bad Thai food has to be, when it's bad, it's really bad. Thai is so old. Remember Thai was hot for a while, like it opened and everyone wanted it? I had really good Thai food, I'll tell you where. In Hawaii, back in the late 60s, I had a black friend, former military, who married a Thai woman. Harold, are you listening? I haven't seen him in 40 years. He opened a Thai restaurant in one of the hotels in the jungle. The jungle. It was so good. I mean, that was really Thai food. And he told me all about the phoniness of Thai culture, Harold did. Barbaco. Oh, this is a restaurant I can't mention. Never heard of it. It's another an ad for something. What's this, the best place for pizza? Why are there so many pizza places opening? Burmese lunch buffet. That's like a hot thing now, Burmese. You ever have Burmese food? The best Burmese I ever had was in the West Village of Manhattan number of years ago, many years ago. Burmese is very nice. It's very lightly. It's mildly spiced Chinese food, in essence. Delicious. If you can get authentic Burmese food. Very different cuisine. Want to talk food? I don't. Free dessert. You know, restaurants in trouble when they bring out the dessert cart and it's free, or the two-for-one or the low. Are restaurants in trouble now? Yes, some of them are. Don't miss the following very important stories on michaelsavage.com. Did you get your ringtone yet? Where your phone rings and you hear Michael Savage say, "Hey, idiot, liberalism is a mental disorder. Pick up this phone." Or do you know that you can buy a book that may help your children live better? A to Z Natural Approaches for Natural Complaints. Healing Children Naturally. Only on michaelsavage.com. And by the way, did you know that San Francisco is considering banning the sale of pets except fish? That means all the gerbils will be going as well.
Savage.